estructura del debate de este primer bloque es que tú vas a dar la palabra a Johansson, el ministro, y desde Ljubljana moderan el debate con los parlamentos nacionales. Y luego tú ya cierras.
Ellos son los que moderan, los que dan
sí, los ellos son los que dan los parlamentos nacionales.
Pero
line.
Yo voy a introducir este punto.
Es tu, tu.
Good morning, everybody. Be welcome, dear colleagues. Members of the European Parliament and national parliaments of this joint parliamentary scrutiny group on Europol, we welcome, we see that she's staying in the room with us, Director Catherine de Bol. Thank you for staying and paying so much attention to this work of this interparliamentary group. And of course, we welcome warmly our Commissioner for Home Affairs, Ylva Johansson, which will be delivering keynote speech today on various issues regarding Europol and police cooperation. Of course, we welcome warmly to Alex Hoyes, Mr. Alex Hoyes, Minister of Interior of the presidency, rotating presidency of the European Union, Slovenian presidency. I will now, with no further delay, will give the floor, I guess, to my co-chair, Mr. Preville. No, no, I see. No, first we hear from our guest, Mrs. Johansson, Commissioner, and then we will be hearing also from Mr. Hoyes, Minister of Interior. I suggest 12 minutes each, I've been reported, so that we can make the best out of the time available this morning session of us. The floor is yours, Commissioner Johansson.
Thank you very much, and I hope to be shorter than that. So, good morning, everybody. Good morning, all honourable members here in the European Parliament and all national members of national parliament connected remotely. I'm very glad to be here. We met last time in February, and then I presented to you my plans and my proposals. Since then, we are turning proposals into reality and plans into action. I would like to begin with my proposal on the new mandate for Europol. Council and Parliament had rapidly established their positions and start when we will start the trialogues already tomorrow. And I must say, this is really impressive how quick both Council and Parliament has worked on this. And I think that shows also the big importance of adopting a new mandate for Europol. We hope to conclude the trialogues already this year, and that would mean going from a proposal from the Commission to a final decision in 1 year. That would be really, really great if that is achievable. So, stronger Europol will be able to support national police. I want Europol to be able to propose investigations to member states when shared union interests are at stake. I want Europol to put information on terror and crime suspects in the Schengen information system if member states do not do so. I want Europol to support the European Public Prosecutor's Office, the EPPO. I want Europol to support law enforcement innovation, and I want Europol, well, Europol must be able to analyze big and complex data sets. In the Encrochat case, in the Sky ECC, and in Operation Trojan Shield, police captured hundreds of millions of messages about drug deals, violence, murders, corruption. German police estimated it would take one police officer 2,000 years to analyze 3,000 terabytes of child sexual abuse material. Large criminal data sets are no longer the exception, but the rule. So we must update our rule book to reflect this reality. And along with greater powers will come greater responsibility for oversight. That means greater responsibility for you in the Joint Parliamentary Scrutiny Group. Another of my proposed changes is to allow Europol to work directly with private companies, which is essential to tackle on the issues on your agenda for today, the fight against child sexual abuse. When we spoke last in February, my most pressing concern was putting in place emergency legislation, allowing private companies to continue to detect and to report child sexual abuse material. That emergency legislation is now negotiated, agreed, and the law of the land. So we have turned back the light. Police can continue to rescue children because companies have resumed their reporting and detecting. Parliament and Council showed willingness to compromise in the interest of saving children. This compromise makes me confident that we can also succeed in the next biggest step. I'm working on a proposal for a long-term permanent legislation to counter child sexual abuse, and I intend to present it in a few months. I want to make it mandatory for companies to detect, report, and remove child sexual abuse material, because voluntary is not enough. Last year, companies reported 1 million videos and images of child sexual abuse in the EU alone. And behind every photo is a child tortured and raped. And it's just the tip of an iceberg. Last year, 95% of those reports came from one company alone, from Facebook. That means that we have a lot of companies that do not do the detection and reporting today. Mandatory reporting should greatly increase the number of reports and children we can save. Especially combined with Europol's proposed ability to work with private companies, which should increase the speed of finding children. Company policy changes could also reduce reporting, like Facebook's decision on an end-to-end encryption for WhatsApp, which could reduce reports for two-thirds, and for Messenger. This is what I want to avoid. My proposal will be about law enforcement cooperation and innovation and much more. Fighting child sexual abuse by all possible means, also through prevention and awareness-raising campaigns, and with a focus on protecting victims. Child sexual abuse is a huge crime. The numbers of pictures and videos reported are bigger than you really can imagine. And just that, to understand that the children of today, they are living in a digital environment that is very, very different, and they are being exposed to this on a frequent basis. In a recent survey in Finland, they asked children at the age of 11 to 17 if they have ever been asked by an adult they don't know if they have received nude pictures, dick pics, from an adult that they don't know on internet. And 80% said yes. And they were also asked if they have been asked to send nude pictures of themselves to an adult they don't know. 75% said yes. And 10% said they have this experience on a weekly basis. Of course, this is only one survey in one member state. But I think that the reality that our children are facing online is really something that should concern us, and we should use our power to protect them. I think also that it would be very important to have a new European Centre against child sexual abuse. I think this could tie all these approaches together, the prevention, the awareness campaigns, the support for victims, and the reporting. A second important topic on your agenda today concerns the fight against corruption, financial crimes, and the protection of EU money. Organized crime makes 140 billion euros in criminal money in just one year. They use that money to buy people, to buy power. As the Encrochat case made clear, coordinated by Europol, national police listened live to criminals plotting murders, drug deals, and bribing officials. 60% of criminal networks engage in corruption. 60%. From multi-million euro payoff to slipping an official a couple of banknotes. 80% of the organized criminal groups control or infiltrate legitimate businesses and launder dirty money in construction companies, restaurants and hotels, in jewelry stores. Crooked accountants hide this money in multiple bank accounts held by countless front companies and straw men in different jurisdictions, also offshore, as the Pandora revelations once again underline. And authorities only confiscate 1% of criminal money, even if the police catches the criminal. Crime must not pay. Next year, I will propose new rules on confiscation and recovery of criminal assets to take the money from the criminals and give it back to victims and to society. The fight against corruption is part of our economic governance. In the 2019 European semester, we gave 8 member states country-specific recommendations against corruption. We fight corruption through the rule of law mechanism with rule of law reports for each member state. From next year, the Commission will issue specific recommendations in these reports, also against corruption. European law enforcement cooperation is crucial to fight financial crimes. The new European Financial and Economic Crime Center at Europol, established last year, supports operations against counterfeiting, fraud, including VAT fraud, corruption, as well as money laundering. Leading in the first half of this year to the arrest of 465 suspects and to the seizure of 520 million euro in criminal assets. Here too, working with the private sector is crucial. Europol's upgrade mandate will help. And next year, I will publish guidance on using public-private partnerships against money laundering and terrorist financing. The Commission is also protecting our EU budget. To get money from the Recovery and Resilience Facility, member states must prevent any kind of fraud, corruption, and conflict of interest. If not, reduction or recovery of misused funds is an option. Our chief weapon to protect the budget is the European Public Prosecutor's Office, EPPO. EPPO started its work in June, investigating crimes affecting EU financial interest, including cross-border VAT fraud, and it's already delivering excellent results. In a few short months, EPPO has dealt with more than 1,700 criminal reports, opened 300 investigations, into an estimated 4.5 billion euro in losses to the EU budget. EPPO already has a working arrangement with Europol. In the new mandate, I want to strengthen these ties and allow Europol to provide analytical support. In conclusion, let me say, what unites the fight against child sexual abuse and the fight against corruption is Europol, which soon will be able to support the fight against these crimes even better, and with a new and better mandate, and with your diligent oversight. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Johansson. I think you have, it's fair to assess that you have delivered quite a compelling commitment in the field of action, which is to be discussed this morning session of our joint parliamentary group. Now we hear from Minister Hoyes. The floor is yours. You have 12 minutes.
Thank you, Juan. So I would like to ask you to put the headphones on because I will speak in Slovene. Torej, spoštovani predsednik, spoštovani Juan, spoštovane poslanke, spoštovani poslanci, spoštovana komisarka Ilva, dragi gostje. Najprej ne rečem, da mi je veliko čast in zadovoljstvo, da vas lahko v imenu slovenskega predsedstva Sveta Evrope pozdravim na tem zasedanju skupine za skupni parlamentarni nadzor nad Europolom. Menim, da je izmenjava mnenj s predstavniki državljanskega nadzora nad delovanjem Europola velikega pomena. Pomena tako za zagotavljanje transparentnega delovanja, kot seveda tudi za spoštovanje s tem povezanih človekovih pravic. Europol je pomemben, partner Slovenije in ostalih držav članic. Policijam naših držav s pomočjo analitičnih zmogljivosti, inovacij in strokovnega znanja nudi neprecenljivo operativno podporo pri izvajanju preiskav. Tukaj naj poudarim, da je posebej za male države, torej za majhne države z malimi resursi, torej tja seveda je potrebno prišteti nas, Slovenijo, Europol še bolj pomemben in še bolj iskan oziroma še bolj zaželjen. Zato Slovenija vidi v Europolu enega svojih ključnih partnerjev v smislu tudi zagotavljanja notranje varnosti. Ko je izpolnen mandat Europola, je ta agencija naš prvi kanal izbire, kar se odraža tudi v povečevanju izmenjave informacij iz leta v leto. Torej naša statistika kaže, da je uporaba vseh aktivnosti, ki jih za Slovenijo izvaja Europol iz leta v leto večji. Z Europolom aktivno sodelujemo od samega začetka preiskav, torej od trenutka, ko začnemo s preiskavo, saj nam je uporaba njihovih orodij, tako kot sem dejal, in produktov že večkrat pomagala do njihovega, torej do zaključka uspešnega zaključka izvedbe preiskav. Prav tako moramo omeniti, da ima veliko vlogo pri našem sodelovanju z sosednjimi regijami, posebej z Zahodnim Balkanom. Torej, kazniva dejanja obravnavana v Sloveniji so zaradi našega geostrateškega položaja nemalokrat povezana s to regijo. Obenem pa je ta pot oziroma ta bližina Zahodnega Balkana, kakor tudi seveda naša vključenost v Evropsko unijo, izjemno pomembna za celotno varnost celotne EU. Revizija mandata Europola je zato za Slovenijo ena od ključnih prioritet v času našega predsedovanja. Aktivno sodelujemo tako na strokovnem kot političnem nivoju s ciljem doseči čim prejšnje soglasje o besedilu med sozakonodajalcema. Tudi osebno moram reči, da čeprav bo to prvi trialog, ki ga bom pričel, se bom maksimalno prizadeval za to, da dosežemo soglasje k besedilu v času, ko imamo tudi sam čast in privilegij, da zastopam stališče sveta v EU. Zato me seveda veseli tudi to, kar je povedala komisarka, da nekako tudi sama želi sključno z vami, spoštovani parlamentarci, da morda zaključimo ta del sprejema revidiranega mandata Europola do konca letošnjega leta. Glede na hiter tehnološki razvoj, ki ga seveda zlorablja in uporablja tudi kriminal, torej kriminalne združbe, je nujno zagotoviti pogoje, da bodo organi, ki so zadolženi za zagotavljanje notranje varnosti, lahko sledili temu napredku in se v vse bolj digitalizirani družbi uspešno borili proti kriminalu. Moram reči, da je ena od ključnih stvari, ki jo je potrebno doreči v tem trialogu in kjer je po moje največ odprtih težav zagotovitev možnosti, da Europol obravnava velike nabore podatkov. To je tisto, kar nekako pravzaprav življi vse nas in menim, da je, če govorim tudi saj deloma, tudi malo v vsebini, menim, da je to, kar je predstavila komisija, torej da zagotavljamo nekak dvostopenski sistem obravnave teh podatkov, izjemno pomembna zadeva. Če povem bolj plastično, nemogoče si je predstavljati, da bi lahko odkrivali kazniva dejanja, ne da bi pregledali pravzaprav vse prtljažnike oziroma vse tisto, kar nosijo ljudje s seboj. Obenem pa seveda je potrebno delati to dvostopensko. Pregledamo vse tisto, kar v bistvu ne spada v to kategorijo, odstranimo in ne preiskujemo naprej in se fokusiramo zgolj v tisto, kar je potrebno pregledati. Zato mislim, da bo to najbolj trd orek, verjamem pa, da ga lahko z skupnimi močmi tudi v naslednjih dveh mesecih rešimo. Zato me veseli, da je Evropski parlament v preteklem tednu potrdil mandat za pogajanja in da bomo že jutri začeli s tem prvim političnim trilogijem o tej reviziji mandata Europola. Prepričan sem, da bomo vsi deležniki, tako kot sem že povedal, naredili vse, kar je v naši moči, da bomo do konca letošnjega leta to besedilo uskladili.
Thank you so much.
Is it okay?
No, you continue.
I continue?
Okay, of course.
Otherwise, okay.
Of course.
Spoštovani poslanci, ob pogledu na dnevni red današnjega zasedanja moram seveda reči, da me veseli to, da se bo obravnavala tudi tematika, ki jo je komisarka že posebej izpostavila in je tudi ena od prioritet Slovenije v času našega predsedovanja, to je boj proti spolnim zlorabam otrok. Slovenija na tem področju boja proti spolnim zlorabam in spolnem izkoriščanju otrok, tako online, kot seveda tudi v fizičnem okolju, posveča zelo veliko pozornost. Gre za hudo obliko kriminalitete, torej pravzaprav gre za eno najbolj sprevrženih kriminalnih dejanj, ki je pa velikokrat in vedno bolj se to ugotavlja čezmejna. Torej gre za to, da je in da mora biti in verjamem, da pravzaprav je vsem skupaj nam osnovni cilj pomoč otrokom, torej tistim skupinam, ki so seveda najbolj ranljive skupine. Ne želimo zgolj v času sprejemanja oziroma v času naših aktivnosti zgolj preprečevati, torej ali pa zgolj odkrivati tiste, ki postanejo žrtve spolnih zlorab, ampak želimo, da se skozi preventivne aktivnosti te zlorabe že vnaprej preprečijo. To bi bil pravzaprav najbolj idealen scenarij in tudi največji uspeh vsega, kar delamo na tem področju. Količina gradiv na internetu, kar je povedala že Ilva, na internetu se z leta v leto povečuje, torej številke so pravzaprav zastrašljive, skrb zbujajoče in seveda se ne smemo slabiti, da so med temi žrtvami in temi posnetki pravzaprav otroci iz našega okolja, otroci iz Evrope, otroci iz Zahodnega Balkana in nazadnje lahko da tudi otroci iz naše soseščine. Slovenija je prepoznala pomembnost tega boja, pripoznala pa je tudi pomembnost, kako bi lahko temu rekli, torej nujnost krepitve mednarodnega sodelovanja v boju zoper ta kazniva dejanja. Torej, mednarodno sodelovanje organov odkrivanja in preiskovanja kaznivih dejanj na tem področju je eden od ključnih pogojev za to, da lahko računamo na končen uspeh. Kot sem dejal, je Slovenija močno vključena v regijo Zahodnega Balkana, zato bomo seveda posebno pozornost temu dali tudi na ravnokar sklicanem izrednem zasedanju sveta, ki ga planiramo v začetku meseca novembra v Sloveniji, kjer bo to zasedanje namenjeno izključno tematiki boja proti spolni zlorabi otrok. Naš prvenstveni ali pa glavni cilj je predvsem identifikacija žrtev, to zdaj, da bomo zlorabo preprečili in otroka rešili trpljenja. Izredno pomembno pa je zato seveda izmenjava podatkov v EU okolju, ključno z Europolom. Zato podpiramo delo in prizadevanje Europola ter Evropske komisije za učinkovitejši boj proti spolnemu izkoriščanju otrok. Nekako pričakujemo to, kar je napovedala Ilva. Ona je sicer danes rekla v naslednjih mesecih, ampak verjamem, da bomo njen predlog videli že meseca decembra. To vsi z nadstrpnostjo pričakujemo. Veseli me torej, da se boste danes, spoštovani poslanci, lotili tudi te tematike, ki bo seveda tudi v prihodnjih dveh mesecih, koliko časa še predsedujemo, pomembno zaznovala tudi naše predsedovanje. Zato bom seveda danes z zanimanjem prisluhnil vaši razpravi, odgovoril na vsa tista vprašanja, če boste imeli, na katere bom znal odgovoriti vse tisto, kar pa bodo dobri predlogi, pa bomo seveda pri našem nadaljem delu upoštevali. Zahvaljujem se za vašo pozornost.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your presentations, for your commitments. Commissioner Johansson, Minister Hoyes, now I will pass the floor to my co-chair, Mr. Preville, to lead the speaking time to open up the discussion among the members of the National Parliament and the European Parliament. Floor goes to you, Mr. Preville.
Ja, hvala lepa, spoštovani sopredsedujoči. Hvala lepa. Tudi jaz najprej na začetku seveda z največjim veseljem pozdravim oba naša gosta, spoštovano komisarko gospo Ilvo Johansson in slovenskega ministra za notranje zadeve gospoda Aleša Hojsa. In se tudi zahvalim za oba vajna prispevka. Lepo zdrav seveda tudi vsem prisotnim v Bruslju. S tem bomo, spoštovane kolegice in kolegi, prešli na razpravo. Predno začnemo s prvim razpravljavcem, gospodom Javierjem Zarhalehosom iz Evropskega parlamenta. Mi dovolite še nekaj napotkov. Želel bi vas prositi, da govorite dokaj počasi in razločno zaradi prevodov in glede na trenutno število prijavljenih, ki ga imam pred seboj, prosim, da se omejite nekje na okvirno 2 minuti. Kot ponovadi bo izmenično dobil besedo član Evropskega parlamenta, nato član nacionalnega parlamenta in seveda ponovno član Evropskega parlamenta in tako naprej. Dovolite pa mi še nekaj tehničnih napotkov. Ko vas bom povabil z imenom in priimkom k besedi, prosim, pritisnite na gumb raise hand, počakajte, da gumb mikrofon zasveti v modri barvi, nato še enkrat ta gumb pritisnite, gumb bo zasvetil v rdeči barvi, kar pomeni, da lahko začnete govoriti in da vas udeleženci slišijo. Ko zaključite z govorom, ponovno pritisnite na gumb mikrofon in ga s tem izključite. Vljudno vas tudi prosim, da imate ves čas svojega nastopa prižgano kamero, da bodo lahko prevajalci tudi prevajali. Besedi pa torej kar vabim, kot rečeno, prvega razpravljavca, gospoda Javierja Zarhalehosa iz Evropskega parlamenta, pripravi pa naj se gospod Ion Marcel Vela iz Romunskega senata. Gospod Zarhalehos, izvolite.
Muchas gracias, señor copresidente, señor presidente, y muchas gracias a la comisaria Johansson y al ministro Hoyes. Como vamos a tener oportunidad de poder abordar en debates temáticos otros asuntos más específicos y como ha habido unas reiteradas referencias al nuevo mandato de Europol, me gustaría como rapporteur por parte del Parlamento simplemente hacer algunas manifestaciones. En primer lugar, valorar el trabajo que el Parlamento ha realizado gracias al trabajo desarrollado tanto por mis colegas shadow reporters como por los equipos técnicos sobre la base de unas propuestas legislativas de la Comisión cuyos objetivos fundamentales eran compartidos y son compartidos por el Parlamento Europeo. En segundo lugar, quiero subrayar la importancia del fortalecimiento de los controles institucionales y democráticos, puesto que aquí estamos en la sesión del Joint Scrutiny Group, que la propuesta del Parlamento, que el mandato del Parlamento incluye, y que por otra parte son consistentes con el aumento, la ampliación de las capacidades de Europol. El principio de que a mayor capacidad por parte de Europol se corresponde un mayor y más estrecho control democrático, es un principio que todos los grupos en el Parlamento han asumido y que queda reflejado en nuestro mandato. En tercer lugar, quiero referirme a las palabras de la comisaria Johansson cuando pone en valor la importancia del trabajo que ha desarrollado el Parlamento y la importancia también del trabajo que ha desarrollado el Consejo a la hora de establecer con una gran rapidez sus respectivos mandatos. Esto debería llevarnos, y en ese sentido me sumo a lo dicho por la comisaria y por el ministro, debería llevarnos a fijarnos como objetivo el que pudiéramos contar con un compromiso final, con un acuerdo legislativo en torno a las 2 propuestas legislativas realizadas por la Comisión, pudiéramos contar con el compromiso final en el curso de este año y dentro de los 3 trílogos que inicialmente hemos previsto. Por tanto, en mi condición de rapporteur y contando con un sólido mandato del Parlamento, pues apelo al Consejo para que podamos trabajar juntos y con la intensidad necesaria para conseguir este objetivo. Muchas gracias.
Najlepša hvala. Kot rečeno, besedo ima gospod Ion Marcel Vela, pripravi pa se gospa Marjeta Kramanli iz Francoske nacionalne skupščine. Izvolite. gospod Marcel Vela. Vem, da ste z nami preko video povezave, vas imamo. Očitno imamo nekaj težav s povezavo, se bomo... Aha. Prijava je, nimamo pa slike ne zvoka. Očitno je nekaj tehničnih težav, se bomo vrnili gospodu. Nazaj besedo pa predajam gospe Marjeti Karamanli iz Francoske nacionalne skupščine, ki je prav tako prisotna preko video povezave. Izvolite. Očitno je tudi tu nekaj tehničnih težav, žal še vedno zaradi epidemioloških razmer smo primorani voditi konference preko video povezav. Obema se bomo vrnili nazaj, besedo pa sedaj dajem gospe evropski poslanki Eleni Jončevi, ki kolikor vem je prisotna iz Evropskega parlamenta. Izvolite, imate besedo.
Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président. Je remercie aussi au commissaire et au ministre pour la présentation. Europol a un rôle crucial à jouer pour assurer la sécurité intérieure de l'Union. Et la révision du mandat d'Europol est en cours et sera bientôt une réalité. Je vais attirer votre attention sur le problème de la corruption. La lutte contre la corruption fait partie du mandat d'Europol, oui, mais aussi de la nouvelle stratégie de la sécurité intérieure. Mais cela semble être tout ce que nous avons pour le moment. Des paroles juridiques et politiques, oui, des politiques fortes, mais pas beaucoup d'actions concrètes pour les soutenir. Peu de résultats tangibles à la hauteur de la priorité que nous accordons toute la lutte contre la corruption. Et donc, ma première question à la Commission concerne le rôle d'Europol dans les enquêtes liées à la corruption au niveau de l'Union européenne qui n'impliquent pas des fonds européens. Comment allez-vous combler cet écart? N'est-il pas temps que nous développions une stratégie européenne de lutte contre la corruption, établir des normes et des références au niveau de l'Union européenne pour lutter contre la corruption? L'Union européenne devrait être à l'avant-garde de la lutte contre la corruption et l'Europol a un rôle à jouer à cet égard. N'est-il pas grand temps que nous demandons à l'Europol de fournir une analyse opérationnelle à la menace posée de la corruption dans l'Union européenne et aussi savoir la taille de ce marché criminel et son impact sur la criminalité en Europe. Et ma deuxième question s'adresse au ministre Jorch. Ministre, en tant que ministre de l'Intérieur, vous savez bien que la lutte contre la corruption comporte un élément répressif important et que le règlement d'Europol prévoit explicitement un soutien aux États membres dans les délits liés à la corruption. Mais cependant, peu d'États membres ont demandé un tel soutien ces dernières années. Alors ma question est, quelle est la raison derrière cela? Est-ce qu'une réticence à implifier Europol dans telle enquête ou c'est un manque de connaissance peut-être sur le rôle d'Europol? Et comment cela peut être surmonté? Et pourquoi le débat politique sur la lutte contre la cybercriminalité, par exemple, est-il beaucoup plus facile que le débat politique sur une éventuelle stratégie de l'Union européenne pour lutter contre la corruption? Je vous remercie.
Ja, hvala lepa, spoštovana poslanka. Naslednji ima besedo gospod Demetrius Demetriou iz Ciprškega predstavniškega doma, pripravi pa naj se gospa Maite Pagaza Rotunda iz Evropskega parlamenta. Gospod Demetriou.
Καλή μιας μέρα από την Κύπρο. Ήθελα να ρωτήσω την κυρία Επίτροπο. Η τελευταία έκθεση της Ευρωπαϊκής Επιτροπής για την Τουρκία σημειώνει μεταξύ πολλών άλλων ελλείψεων ότι η νομοθεσία της για την προστασία των δεδομένων δεν συνάδει με τα πρότυπα της Ευρωπαϊκής Ένωσης. Από την άλλη πλευρά, ο νέος κανονισμός της Ευρωπόλ προβλέπει ότι σε συγκεκριμένες περιπτώσεις η Ευρωπόλ θα μπορεί να ανταλλάσσει προσωπικά δεδομένα με τρίτες χώρες για την πρόληψη και την αντιμετώπιση εγκλημάτων. Τι γίνεται με τις συμφωνίες που διαπραγματεύεται η Επιτροπή με τρίτες χώρες σχετικά με την ανταλλαγή δεδομένων προσωπικού χαρακτήρα συμπεριλαμβανομένης της Τουρκίας? Θα εγκαταληφθούν? Πώς πρόκειται να αντικαταστήσει μια και μόνο διάταξη στον κανονισμό αυτές τις συμφωνίες και όλες τις απαιτήσεις για τη συμμόρφωση με τα πρότυπα της Ευρωπαϊκής Ένωσης? Τι εγγυήσεις υπάρχουν? Ευχαριστώ πολύ.
Hvala lepa tudi za vaš prispevek. Naslednja, kot rečeno, ima besedo gospa Maite Pagaza Ortundua iz Evropskega parlamenta, ki, kolikor vem, je tudi prisotna fizično v Bruslju. Izvolite, imate besedo.
Sí, muchísimas gracias, presidentes. Quiero sumarme a lo que ha indicado el señor Zarzalejos desde el punto de vista de que los trílogos para aprobar el mandato revisado y reforzado de Europol puedan llegar a buen término rápidamente y en el curso de esos trílogos previstos. Porque si hay algo que hemos visto claramente durante este tiempo de pandemia, este tiempo que todavía nos impide estar a todos aquí físicamente, es que el crimen ha modernizado tendencias y ha generado nuevas dinámicas, ha ido más allá en elementos de mutación y de máximo rendimiento y utilización de las nuevas capacidades tecnológicas. Y eso indica que nosotros tenemos también que utilizar de forma muy eficaz, de la forma más eficiente, las nuevas capacidades tecnológicas posibles. Así que me sumo a lo que ha dicho el señor Zarzalejos respecto a al mandato revisado de Europol y que esperamos pueda dar pues precisamente ese valor añadido que necesitamos todos. Porque la gran mayoría de esas mutaciones en el crimen que la comisaria Johansson ha referido tienen componente transnacional, tienen componente de nuevas tecnologías y, por tanto, nosotros no podemos ser ingenuos porque la impunidad no está dentro del ADN de lo que queremos como instituciones democráticas que defienden a los ciudadanos. Yo quiero hacer una pregunta a la comisaria acerca de la directiva sobre ciberseguridad, porque en la Comisión Libe a mí me ha tocado participar con la opinión y le hemos dado relevancia al rol de Europol, proponiendo su inclusión como miembro observador en distintas estructuras, precisamente en línea con lo que se ha dicho anteriormente. De hecho, lo que hemos propuesto es que participe en calidad de observador en el grupo de cooperación creado para apoyar y facilitar la cooperación estratégica y el intercambio de información entre los Estados miembros en el ámbito de aplicación de la directiva, en la red de CSIRT nacionales dedicada al refuerzo de confianza y seguridad y la promoción de una cooperación operativa rápida y eficaz de los Estados miembros y también la observación en la red de funcionarios de enlace nacionales para la gestión de cibercrisis en el EUCiclón. Y como no sabemos si la propuesta se mantendrá en la posición negociadora que apruebe el Parlamento, en todo caso, ¿estarían abiertos a otorgar este rol a Europol? Se lo pregunto porque en la propuesta de directiva no se contempló esta posibilidad que nosotros hemos incluido en esta opinión, que no sabemos todavía hasta dónde llegará, pero que nos parecía que era interesante para Europol, precisamente por lo que estamos indicando. Muchísimas gracias.
Hvala tudi vam. Naslednji bo besedo dobil gospod Patrick Breyer iz Evropskega parlamenta, pripravi pa naj se gospa Sita Kanko, prav tako iz Evropskega parlamenta. Gospod Breyer, kolikor ste prisotni, izvolite, imate besedo.
Thank you very much. Good morning, dear Commissioner Johansson. Your strategy to tackle child sexual abuse will largely fail and turn out to be an empty promise because of your fruitless obsession with the circulation of this abhorrent material, which will at best drive the circulation underground and make it more difficult to prosecute. And the best proof of your failure is that the numbers are not going down, are they? They keep going up. There is a growing body of evidence that bulk interception and analysis of everybody's private communications that you are envisioning violates fundamental rights and stands no chance in court. Look where you will. EDPS, the European Parliament's legal service, the EPRS, a former judge, German Bundestag, they all agree that your proposals are legally flawed in one respect or other and will not let you get away with ignoring this fundamental rights issue. They are not negotiable. And that, by the way, includes the right of victims to private digital counseling and support without being spied on by moderators or police. No word from you on legality of your plans. No word on Apple's stalled plans to attack encryption that protects us all. No word on the results of your own public consultation, according to which a majority don't want indiscriminate interception and 80% are opposed to your attacks on encryption. Your purpose is to rescue children. So how many do you claim have been rescued by means of error-prone, indiscriminate mass surveillance of private messages and photos by Facebook and others? And how many more could be rescued if law enforcement, rather than wasting its time sorting criminally mostly irrelevant material, up to 86% of this stuff is criminally irrelevant, and rather focused its capacities on targeted investigations, including undercover investigations into child porn rings, conducting searches not only month after they have been ordered, as is the case at the moment, analyzing confiscated data not only month or years after it has been seized? How about changing your focus? I asked Europol many questions on indiscriminate chat control, and it seems they have no idea where the real problems in member states are when it comes to investigating child sexual abuse. So start focusing on child safety and preventing abuse in the first place, Commissioner.
Hvala lepa tudi za ta vaš pogled in vaš prispevek. Kot rečeno, besedo ima gospa Asita Kanko, pripravi pa se gospa Claire Daly, prav tako iz Evropskega parlamenta. Gospa Kanko, izvolite, imate besedo.
Thank you very much. Madam Commissioner, during speech at our last meeting, that was in February 2021, you emphasized the urgent need to combat child sex abuse online. And I support this urgent call to tackle such an awful issue that is touching so many children inside the European Union. And indeed, the Parliament has recently adopted its negotiating mandate on the proposals to strengthen Europol's mandate on this. What would be the assessment of the Commission of the recently adopted Parliament's mandate? Which points would you identify as crucial for combating these terrible crimes in view of the upcoming negotiations with the Council? Thank you.
Hvala lepa. Tako, naslednjo ima besedo gospa Claire Daly, pripravi pa se še kot zadnja gospa Saskia Brickmond.
Thanks very much, Chair, and thanks to our speakers. I'd like to first of all strongly agree with the points made by Patrick Breyer in relation to child sexual abuse. I think in an overall sense, though, the Parliament has obviously just signed off on our take on the new Europol mandate. We're about to go into negotiations on that, and I'd like to get a little bit more detail from the Commission in terms of its thinking. And I suppose I'd like to ask the Commissioner whether she's concerned about the precedent being set by the rush to revise Europol's mandate. I mean, specifically the fact that you have skipped completely the legally mandated evaluation of the effectiveness and efficiency of Europol and its working practices, which was supposed to take place next year. I mean, basically, we're being asked to legislate blind here without any proper review of the work that Europol does, how it does it, how well or how badly it does it, how it's been getting on, what extra powers it might need, whether they're proportional or necessary, and all the rest of it. Now, that's not how lawmaking is supposed to work, and it's certainly not supposed to work by trying to legalise illegal practices after the event. 10%, which is what is happening here. And I'm wondering, is the Commissioner concerned about that? Secondly, is about research and innovation. We've had a lot of reassuring words that Europol will only be researching AI and so on, that it won't be sending stuff to the market anytime soon. Look at AI and policing, we all know, is an incredibly toxic mix that leads to profiling, entrenched bias, harassment of minorities and so on, and actually an undermining of the legitimacy of police forces when it's used. So I'm wondering, you know, once these algorithms are developed, the pressure is going to be, oh, well, sure, we might as well use them, so, because that's what always happens. So beyond the reassurance, is there anything, the words that the Commissioner can tell us that this is not going to happen? Thanks, Chair.
Hvala lepa tudi za vašo razpravo. Besedo ima gospa Saskia Brickmont iz Evropskega parlamenta. Kolikor ste z nami, izvolite.
Good morning, colleagues, their commissioner, their minister. The new Europol mandate as negotiated, allow for further cooperation with third countries. My group already expressed strong concerns for the impact such cooperation could have on fundamental rights. According to Article 218 of the Treaty, the European Parliament should immediately and fully be informed at every stage of this negotiation. Please, could you tell us more about the stage of play of the negotiations with Egypt, Israel, Algeria, Jordan, Lebanon, Morocco, Tunisia, and Turkey on the exchange of personal data with Europol? And do you believe that such talks should be continuing, especially in light of the recent revelations of Morocco's involvement in the Pegasus case and its government spying on EU citizens? The Europol Cooperation Board, through its written contribution to this meeting, proposes a full review of the existing agreements. Madam Johansson, will you follow that recommendation? I also have a question to Mr. Minister. In the European Parliament position on the new mandate of Europol, two important safeguards for fundamental rights have been added to the proposal, namely a fundamental rights officer position and a consultative forum. As you will be leading the negotiations for the Council, we would like to know what is your stake on this proposal. Secondly, we of course welcome the working arrangements between Europol and the EPPO, as we believe this will create important synergies between both institutions. We are really happy to see the EPPO office put into traction and working on cases already. Mr. Minister, I'm however preoccupied your country has not yet appointed its two national delegated prosecutors in spite of a regular procedure. So this procedure has been confirmed by the Slovenian judge recently. This is why I would like to ask you if you can indicate us when will Slovenia proceed with nomination. Are you not afraid this gap may favor criminal activities in your own country? And can you commit, please, to a strict calendar? Thank you.
Hvala tudi vam za vašo razpravo. Ker smo izčrpali seznam razpravljavcev, ki so se vnaprej prijavili in nam je ostalo še skoraj da 40 minut pri tej točki, bomo odprli prijavo, sprotno prijavo dodatnih razpravljavcev. Mi pa dovolite, da vas seznanim z navodilom, kako bo to potekalo za prijavo v aplikaciji, torej v chat, ki se sicer nahaja tudi v tehničnih informacijah, a vendar k besedi se prijavite na način, da vpišete dvomestno oznako vaše države oziroma pač EP za Evropski parlament in seveda na to ime in priimek z velikimi črkami, tako da bomo vedeli, kdo gre po vrsti za razpravo. Kot mi je pa znano, je predhodno že roko dvignil nekdo iz Portugalske skupščine Republike, zato lepo prosim, ker ne vem, kdo stoji zadaj, da se tudi predstavite ob vklopu. Torej, mi se dodajem Portugalski skupščini, izvolite.
Uh, Good morning. I'm the Vice President of the Civil Liberties Committee on behalf of the whole committee. And I have brief remarks. First of all, directives on sexual abuse against minors have failed. And we are getting ready to draft a new version of the latest directive, which was enacted in 2010. It is a huge failure, as the impact assessment demonstrates. And Europe is, or became, the hugest hub of pornography involving minors. And in the era of streaming, you can now order shows in which minors are raped, brutalized, on the hands of rings that are not intercepted by police forces. And so we are offering a dramatic show to the world, and this is obviously against our constitutional laws. Secondly, interception methods are failing, and they will fail more and more as American companies offer tools that allow citizens to encrypt and have point-to-point communications as easily as we snap the fingers. Thirdly, cases such as the Pegasus case demand countermeasures, which are nowhere to be seen. The Commission should do something about that. It is not just a responsibility of the states. The European Union has responsibilities and should have an action plan, should have measures, and should show that we have measures against the powerful, or else everybody will think that we are thinking of ridiculous things, such as making people use the same chargers to charge their phones, which is something nearly silly, but not dealing with the relevant things, the big challenges, and this is very important for us. These are the points I'd like to make and have some reply from the Commission and from the Minister of the Interior of Slovenia. Thank you very much.
Hvala lepa, gospod Jose Mažalhaješ. Hvala lepa za vašo predstavitev strani portugalske skupščine. Naslednji pa ima besedo gospod Jacek Kurcepa iz poljskega sejma. Izvolite, imate besedo.
Mr. Kurcepa, please press the speak button once. Thank you.
Serdecznie państwa witam. Jeśli pozwolicie, odniosę się do wątków dotyczących cyberprzestępczości, szczególnie w odniesieniu do ofiar, jakimi są dzieci. W tym aspekcie chciałbym zwrócić uwagę na konieczną identyfikację sprawców, włącznie z technikami działań operacyjnych, wcieleniowych, czyli takiego mandatu dla służb Europolu, które będą mogły posługiwać się tymi metodami. A po drugie, ofiary i ich opiekunowie prawni. Kwestią oczywiście istotną i równorzędną do ścigania sprawców jest oddziaływanie prewencyjno-profilaktyczne w odniesieniu do młodego pokolenia Europejczyków, ale również do rodziców, którzy przecież sprawują prawną opiekę nad dziećmi i poniekąd z tego tytułu ponoszą również odpowiedzialność za to, co z nimi się dzieje. Niekiedy, niestety, czasami bywa tak, że to właśnie w tym najbardziej bezpiecznym środowisku domu własnego czai się niebezpieczeństwo i zło. W efekcie zatem to działanie służb Europolu musi być powiązane z działaniami rozmaitych innych agent, wsparcia, oddziaływania profilaktycznego, prewencyjnego i pomocowego. Za ten aspekt działania Europolu bardzo dziękuję i popieram głos Breyera Patryka, który w sposób bardzo racjonalny i życiowy, Patryku, mówiłeś o tym, co jest istotą wsparcia w tym zakresie. Dziękuję bardzo.
Najlepša hvala, gospod Korcepa. Kot zadnji ste zaključil našo današnjo debato, ker nimam informacij, da bi bil prijavljen še kdo od nacionalnih parlamentov ali strani Evropskega parlamenta, za razpravo zaključujem. Mislim, da smo slišali zanimivo razpravo. Nek večji del je šel tudi naslednji naši vsebinski temi, torej spletnim zlorabam otrok, kar kaže na to, da je to izredno pomembna tematika, da so zadaj šokantne zgodbe in da smo naredili premalo in da moramo ukrepati močneje. Dejstvo je tudi, da vse omenjene problematike v tej prvi fazi, ki smo jo so bile izpostavljene, niso omejene zgolj na Evropsko unijo, ampak presegajo naše meje, pa sodijo sosednje države in seveda tudi širše, zato je ključno sodelovanje. Menim tudi, da večina politike je pokazala, da se lahko strinja z tisto širitvijo Europola, ki je seveda potrebna, a vendar se mora istočasno širiti demokratični nadzor nad Europolom s strani JPSG. S tem bomo prešli na končni komentar obeh govorcev, torej gospe komisarke Johanssonove in ministra Aleša Hojsa. Kot prvo bo dobila za odgovor besedo gospa Ylva Johansson. Imate 15 minut. Izvolite, beseda je vaša.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all your contribution. I will try to answer your question. First, also a personal thanks to Mr. Zazaleos for all your work on the mandate from the Parliament, and of course together with the shadows. I'm really looking forward to start the trialogue tomorrow on Europol's mandate. Mrs. Jonsheva on corruption. There is really much more we need to do on corruption. And of course, the processing of big data that we have in the new Europol mandate is important. We have seen when we have processed the data from Encrochat, for example, there is quite shocking that the organized criminal groups are much more involved in corruption than maybe it was known before. So these are linked also to the fight against corruption. We have the rule of law report that I also mentioned. We have the closer cooperation with Europol and EPPO that is also strengthening the mandate. We have also put a lot of emphasis on this, Europol did, in the SOCTA report on how corruption is growing and being interlinked with organized criminal groups. But I do not exclude to do even more when it comes to the fight to corruption. Mr. Dimitris, the info, there is no legal base for the exchange of personal data with Turkey. We need an agreement between Europol and Turkey to do that, and so far this has not been concluded. We are pending necessary legislation on protection of personal data in Turkey before that could happen. In the current mandate of Europol, it's the possibility for the executive director to make a specific decision in a specific case for a specific exchange of data. What we say in the new mandate that if there are several things that is connected to the same case here, the executive director should be able to take one decision for those different parts that are connected to each other. So it's really making it more workable, and it's based on the current mandate for Europol. And Mrs. Pagasurtundua, on the cybercrime, I really think this is an area also that is really important. Where I think you are referring to, if I understood right, the NIS directive, where Europol is associated to the relevant networks. But let me also point to the importance of Europol's cybercrime center that are doing a great job, I must say, together with the member states. To Mr. Breyer, I think we have a really different approach here, you and I. I think that to be able to fight child sexual abuse efficiently, we can't only use one method. We need to use a different part. It's not only detecting child sexual abuse online, of course, but it's not only preventing, it's not only supporting victims, it's not only infiltrating pedophile networks. We have to do all of this, and even more, actually. We have also to work with security by design, for example. So this is really, I think, our obligation to use all our efforts. And I must say that deleting child sexual abuse material online is also extremely important for victims. Imagine being a victim of a rape, and this rape goes on year after year on internet. It's really to support victims to take down these kind of content. So, Mrs. Asita, thank you for your strong support and to your answers. What we have in the Europol new mandate are two specific things that is related to the fight against child sexual abuse online. First is the ability to process big data, because this is really, really necessary. In many of those cases, we find millions and millions of pictures in one computer or in one device, and it's necessary to use technology to assess this. Second is the stronger mandate for Europol with cooperation with the private parties, which is also directly linked to the child sexual abuse, the fight against that. For example, with the cooperation with the NECMEC, that is a concrete example of that. To Mrs. Dali, first, I must say that this proposal, the revised mandate of Europol, is based on a thorough impact assessment that we have made. And I think also what you mentioned about EDPS, I think what we have seen is actually that this the safeguards that we have put in place in the mandate is that EDPS should have the oversight for Europol. And they have reported that there was a lack of clarity in the legislation when it comes to processing of big data. And now we have proposed to clarify this. I think that actually shows that this is working. This is how it should work. We should have this oversight, and we should be able to have a democratic debate. And then the co-legislators, of course, need to agree to be able to have this in place in the new mandate. To Mrs. Brickmont, you raised several countries where there have been negotiations to find an agreement for exchange of data. None of those are making any progress, I must say, so they are a bit pending. The only country where we have succeeded to close an agreement is with New Zealand. So Mr. Magalhães, on the child sexual abuse, I fully agree that we need to do more. And I think this is also the close cooperation that we need, also what we can do on European level, what you need to do on a national level to implement directives, for example, to boost the capacity for law enforcement to deal with child sexual abuse. So this is important. And Mr. Jask, also the assistance of victims, I fully agree that this is important. I think I've answered the questions. Thank you.
Hvala lepa. Spoštovana komisarka, najlepša hvala za vaše odgovore. Besedo bom sedaj predal gospodu ministru za notranje zadeve z Republike Slovenije, gospodu Alešu Hojsu. Ker nam je ostalo še dovolj časa, spoštovani minister, dajem tudi vam 15 minut za odgovore, tako kot je bilo dodeljeno komisarki. Vljudno pa prosim službe Evropskega parlamenta, da ustrezno popravite uro, ki odšteva čas. Gospod minister, izvolite, imate besedo.
Hvala lepa, spoštovani predsedujoči, gospod Prebil. Glede na to, da sem sam bil deležen manj vprašan kot komisarka, mislim, da bom uspel zaključiti celo prej kot v 15 minutah. Torej, najprej bi želel odgovoriti gospe Eleni Jončevi, ki je spraševala, zakaj oziroma ali, saj tako sem razumel, ali so države morda premalo seznanjene z vsemi možnostmi, ki jih ponuja Europol v smislu sodelovanja oziroma naprošanja za pomoč strani Europola. Moram reči, da po moje ne, da bi bile države slabo seznanjene s tem, ampak je vsaj po moji oceni še zmeraj prisotna neka bojazen izgube suverenitete strani posameznih držav oziroma posebej po moji oceni držav, ki so večje. Tukaj moram seveda reči, da se vsaka država članica prostovoljno odloči v okviru mandata Europola, ali bo za tako pomoč zaprosila ali ne. Seveda gre v glavnem oziroma gre za pomoč, zahteva za pomoč, katerega gre za mednarodno, torej meddržavno, čezmejno sodelovanje, potrebo po sodelovanju. In jaz moram reči, kar se tiče Slovenije, se te pomoči striktno poslužujemo. Torej, vsakič, brez kakršnega koli kančka dvoma, se obračamo na Europol in vsako priložnost, torej uporabe njihovih orodij, njihovih analiz, njihove druge pomoči, Slovenija vedno uporablja. Zdaj, kar se tiče širitve, moram tudi reči, da mi zelo močno podpiramo širitev znanj Europola, posebej v tistem segmentu, ki se nanaša na dodatno izobraževanje oziroma prenose znanja na preiskovalce. Kot sem že večkrat dejal, je seveda je to posebej pomembno za manjše države, kajti tako kadrovski resursi, kot seveda tudi tehnične možnosti, so v manjših državah omejene, zato je seveda pomoč Europola v tem primeru še toliko večja. In nekako se mi zdi, da tudi v tistem delu jutrišnjih pogajanj, kjer se bomo pogajali o teh pristojnosti oziroma dodatnih vnosih, bomo seveda sledili napotkom sveta, bomo pa seveda predstavili tudi stališče Slovenije, kjer močno podpiramo tudi tisti del, to je bilo pa eno od vprašanj, ki ga je, mislim, da izrazila spoštovana poslanka, vezano na vnose podatkov oziroma sodelovanje s tretjimi državami. Slovenija in tudi kot predsedujoči seveda se bomo zavzeli za rešitev, ki je trenutno po moji oceni dobro usklajena na tehničnem nivoju, kar pomeni, da ni mogoče enostaven vnos strani Europola podatkov, ki jih pridobiva strani držav tretjih članic, ampak je to potrebno predhodno verificirati strani tiste države, ki je s tem vnosom prizadeta, kar je po moje izjemno dobra rešitev in verjamem, da jo bomo lahko kot tako tudi izpogajali. To je pač nek kompromis, ki je posledica tudi tega, kar ste predlagali oziroma želeli v parlamentu. Zdaj, naslednje vprašanje, ki je bilo tudi zelo pomembno, vsaj z našega vidika, torej z vidika jutrišnjih pogajanj, je podala gospa Brickmund, nanaša se pa na nove varovalke. Torej na varovalke, ki naj bi jih končen predlog vseboval, torej uradnik za temeljne pravice in pa posvetovalni forum. Zdaj, tako kot je tudi rekel predsedujoči gospod Prebil, je seveda potrebno upoštevati želje parlamenta. Tudi sam se zavedam, da je za širitvijo mandata Europolu potrebno širiti tudi nadzor. Moram podkrito povedati seveda, da pa ne sme nadzor postati cokla, rekel tako Europolu, kot tudi samim preiskavam. Veliko krat pridemo v situacijo, ko je potem tak nadzor cokla nekemu uspešnemu izvajanju preiskav. In zato moram seveda reči, da v tem trenutku kot predsedujoči sveta nima mandata, da se pogajamo o teh dveh zadevah, ki so prišle pravzaprav na našo mizo v tem zadnjem času. Torej, aktualni predlog tega ne vsebuje. Vkolikor bomo v triologu seveda ugotovili, da je to možno vključiti v večji ali po manjši meri, sem seveda zavezan, da grem ponovno pred svet, torej da ponovno z državami članicami zadeve izpogajamo in vkolikor bo volja, da se to izpogaja, bomo to seveda rade volje naredili. Kar se tiče drugega vprašanja, gospe Brikmudove, moram reči, da seveda nisem pristojen za področje imenovanja evropskih tožilcev. Mislim, da so bile te stvari v tem parlamentu že večkrat pojasnjene, torej v Sloveniji teče oziroma se trenutno odvija nabor izbire teh evropskih tožilcev. Moram pa seveda reči čisto osebno mnenje, da je verjetno pravzaprav nerealno vse skozi govoriti o tem, da manjkajoča dva člana lahko predstavljata oviro pri samemu delovanju evropskega tožilca. To bi bilo res malo smešno, če bi se postavili na tako stališče. Zdaj, kar se tiče vprašanja, oziroma tam pravzaprav niti ni bilo vprašanje. Ne? Gospod Breyer je govoril predvsem o tem, kako je predlog ali pa najavljen predlog, kako bo neučinkovit, kako seveda nima pomena, da se na tak način borimo zoper spolne zlorabe otrok. Jaz moram reči, da mi je bila ta razprava pravzaprav spoštovanega poslanca najbolj tuja. Tukaj se moram seveda absolutno strinjati z komisarko. Mislim, da moramo uporabljati vsa urodja v boju zoper zlorabe otrok. Nikakor ni moč reči zgor, to, kar počnete, je, bi rekel, nima nobenega vpliva, nima nobenega učinka. In da bom bolj plastičen. Ne? Gospod je govoril o torej, undercover, ne? Torej, prikrito oziroma prikrito metodo, kar z drugimi besedami pomeni, tako kot recimo počnemo, kar je vsem splošno znano, na drogah. Ne? Tam se pač pod krinko nekdo vključi v kriminalno združbo, navidezno odkupuje drogo in kaj podobnega. Sam si ne predstavljam, kako bi lahko kogarkoli v undercover vključili v spolne zlorabe otrok. Torej, jaz sem zadnjič na Europolu govoril z našimi preiskovalci, ki se ukvarjajo z preiskavami teh kaznivih dejanj in moram reči, da me na nek način zanimalo, kako sami prenašajo to, kar tam vidijo in mi je bilo relativno hitro pojasneno, da tudi sami rabijo psihologa in je zato, bi rekel, na Europolu tudi zaposlena ta strokovna pomoč tistim preiskovalcem, ki se z takimi kaznivimi dejanji ukvarjajo, kajti je najbrž res traumatično, tako da si sam ne predstavljam, kako bi lahko undercover delovali v teh preiskavah spolnih zlorab. Torej mislim, da bo je potrebno slediti predlogu ali pa podpreti predloge komisije in čist na konc, če odgovorim še spoštovanu poslancu iz Portugalske, torej če bomo pristali na to, da je vedno nekdo pred nami, pa bodimo odkriti, saj pri kaznivih dejanjah so kriminalci vedno korak pred nami, zato pravzaprav vse metode odkrivanja kaznivih dejanj razvijamo in jih na nek način izboljšujemo. Ampak reči, da nikoli ne bomo kos temu, kar delajo ameriški tehnološki velikani, torej v smislu tega, da nikoli ne bo moč odkrivati metod, ki jih nekako zagotavljajo zaklepanje za end-to-end decryption, je seveda po moje nesprejemljivo in mislim, da moramo vključiti vsa tehnološka znanja za to, da pridemo vsaj nekaj bliže. Brez tega, da bomo napeli vse sile, tudi v vseh teh tehnoloških smislih, bodo tudi verjetno naše preiskave manj uspešne. Mislim, da so bila to vsa vprašanja, ki so se nanašala name, tako da se zahvaljujem za vašo pozornost. Pa seveda na koncu se zahvaljujem še spoštovanemu poročevalcu Evropskega parlamenta, gospodu Javierju, ki je na začetku povedal, da je tudi torej politična volja Evropskega parlamenta, da je v naslednjih trialogih pred nami so, mislim, da trije terminsko že določeni trialogi, vendarle pripeljamo stvar, kar se tiče Europola, do sprejema. Hvala.
Hvala tudi vam za vaše odzive, gospod minister. S tem, spoštovani, prihajamo v zaključek tega prvega dela. Še enkrat se vsem zahvaljujem za vašo razpravo in vaše prispevke. Mi pa dovolite, spoštovani, da se vsem prisotnim v tisti dvorani v Bruslju nekako upravičim za to, da danes ne moram biti prisoten z vami v živo. Namreč imam neodložljivo obveznosti v državnem zboru, ki terjajo mojo fizično prisotnost tukaj v Sloveniji in kljub veliki želji, da se srečamo, pogovorimo tudi v živo, žal to ni mogoče. Sedaj pa besedo za te zaključne besede in kolikor vem, bomo naredili neko krajšo pauzo, zato se prosim ne sklapljajte. Seveda dajem besedo gospodu sopredsedujočemu, gospodu Lopezu Aguilarju. Izvolite.
Thank you, Deputy Chair, Mr. Preble, and I would like also to express gratitude and appreciation for the round of keynote speakings that we have just heard, and particularly by the responses to the questions that have been raised, and surely they will be returning again throughout the way ahead, because about the delivery of the Slovenian rotating presidency of the Union, and of course about the expectation that has been aroused by the commitments that have been expressed by our Home Commissioner Eva Johansson. Having said this, you know how it's like? It seems that it's to be precise 10:30 that we are to resume our work with the second panel. It's going to be nothing less than four panelists for the second half of this morning session. So I suggest it'll be just 12 minutes of a recess, and then we will be resuming our work so that we make sure. I see that at least two of the panelists which are invited for the second half are already here in the hall, in the room. But as for the other two, just to make sure that they will be ready to go, I suggest 12 minutes of recess. We will be resuming our work by 10:30. Okay? Thank you.